Want to find a way to give back this holiday season, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. It's easy. Instead of wasting time and money on gifts that nobody wants or needs, help your friends and family give back and give to something good, something meaningful. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for a friend or family member, a cause, or an organization. Help out the local animal shelter. Get that little lending library up and running. Just make your world a better place. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. 'Tis the season for giving back, and giving feels good. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Every day makes me want to holler, go away. I need more peace and hope and love. Where do I find it in this crazy old world?
I need strategies, strategies for the radio. Your dose of radio rehab. Strategies for the radio. Every time I listen, Lauren and David share strategies for living, and it makes me aware.
Strategies for living.
As long as we're living, that's a good thing to have.
And there you go. So you ready? You ready for your daily dose? Radio rehab?
Who?
Yeah, I see what you're doing. You're jumping the gun here. Yeah. Who indeed?
Who?
Folks, welcome. Welcome into 101.7 FM, 710 KEO. Welcome into another edition of Strategies for Living. I'm Dr. David McMillan, and the lady over there going, who?
I'm not an owl.
No, but you are a psychotherapist and PLPC Lauren Leon McMillan. So obviously you have read ahead and you know that we're going to talk about the world's most famous bird today.
Who?
Yeah.
Sorry, I had to.
Flacco. he is a Eurasian, or he was a Eurasian eagle owl.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people know about his story because he captured both the imagination and the hearts of millions of followers all over the world. After he escaped from Central Park Zoo.
Right.
And our life strategist today knows a whole lot about this most famous bird. He is David Gessner. And you know, this is probably a lot of things, but I think that it's a great deal, I would say parable.
Yeah,
it's a parable of freedom and
right.
And wildness and fitting into our urban ecosystem, you mm-hmm. know.
I think it's a meditation on wildlife and who we are amongst it all and the freedom to decide where we are amongst
yeah.
it all.
All started on a night in February of 2023. Vandals cut a hole in Flacco's cage, and he lived a year. We're gonna talk to David about his story today and what we can learn, what we can glean from that story. Folks, thank you for tuning in to Strategies for Living. We're glad you're here, and we appreciate our sponsors making it all possible. The Robinson Film Center, and Azalea Cleaners and Pintail Roofing and Learning RX and the Balanced Life Wellness Center and Fertitta's Delicatessen, home of the Godfather, Alligator Italian Sausage, and some pretty good muffies too. Back in a moment to meet David Gessner, our life strategist and the author of The Book of Flacco, the world's most famous bird, today on Strategies. To Strategies for Living, Lauren Leon McMillan, David McMillan. Let's welcome into the program now our life strategist. He's David Gessner. He's the author of 13 books that blend a love of nature, humor, memoir, and environmentalism, including the New York Times best-selling All the Wild That Remains. He is a professor at the University of North Carolina, Wilmington, and founder of Ecotone. His work has appeared in the New York Times Magazine, Outside, Orion, and elsewhere. And he is the author, as we've mentioned, of a new book. It's called The Book of Flacco, the world's most famous birds. Professor Gessner, welcome to Strategies.
Welcome.
Thank you, David. Thank you, Lauren. I'm happy to be here. I was listening to your song, and I've got some new ideas already about what Flacco means.
I love it. I love it when a plan comes together. We might mention that our listeners might hear some bird sounds because you've had to drive away from your home to do this interview to find a hot spot for us, right?
Exactly. Well, we caught the tail end of those horrific tornadoes that came through. We were the last stop because we're on the coast in North Carolina.
Yeah.
So it wasn't as bad here, but the sun just broke through appropriately, and we might get a little Carolina wren. And I hear a mourning dove also. So
I like it.
Get some birds.
I like it.
I think that's an appropriate audience.
Absolutely.
That's
absolutely
right.
Absolutely. Okay. So, David, we said in the intro that a lot of people, millions of people, really came to know Flacco especially after he was escaped. Well, yeah, he was, the Vandals cut through, but then he had to do his thing and get out of his, get out of his cage.
Right.
And he lived a year out and about, and man, what a year it was for him, huh?
Yeah. And what I was thinking about, it's interesting, we call them Vandals. We might call them liberators as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Because he was in a tiny cage by himself. Space is at a premium in New York City, and that's true in the zoo as well.
Yeah.
So his cage was pretty small. Somebody or some people snuck in at night, avoided the cameras, used a grinding tool and cut an owl-sized circle in the cage, and he came out. Since he'd lived in captivity his whole life, he could barely fly.
Right.
He'd never been heard hooting, and he made his way slowly down Fifth Avenue. They tried to capture him in a cat carrier. Now, this is the biggest owl in the world.
Yeah.
Maybe Blackiston's fish owl is competitive, but it's much bigger than our great horned owl.
Right.
So he didn't fit in a cat carrier, thankfully. He made his way down, and he spent a night in a tree outside of the Plaza Hotel and flew into Central Park the next day, where a dozen or so birders started watching him.
Right.
The next day, 100 birders and a dozen or so media watching the birders. And one guy, David Barrett, who started posting his position, wherever he was, his location, online. And within a week, within 2 weeks, he was all over. People in Scotland and Hong Kong were watching him.
He was worldwide.
Via films.
A worldwide phenomenon. Now, what initially drew you? What initially drew you into the story of Flacco?
Well, the thing is, my daughter, I live in North Carolina, and my wife's a writer also, and she wrote a great novel called The Gossip of, The Christie Affair, about Agatha Christie's missing 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
And our daughter, somewhat to our chagrin, decided to go to NYU. And so suddenly she was in New York, and it turns out that both my wife and my next books were set in New York City. It was kind of like we couldn't let go of our daughter.
Mm.
So she also tracked, much like Flacco was tracked, she on her phone would track my daughter as she went out to bars in the West Village at 2 in the morning. So I naturally started looking for him. Didn't find him, which is another story for later on. But you know, one of the things, when I first got interested, one of the really interesting things happened that might fit into your, you know, your strategies is, at first, it looked like there was no chance Flacco was going to be able to survive in the wild.
Right.
He couldn't hunt. He could barely fly.
Right.
The zoo was trying to capture him, and most people were for the zoo capturing him. But about 2 weeks in, something miraculous happened. He coughed up a pellet, which meant he had hunted. Mm. No one had seen it. And the next day, they saw him catch a New York City rat, which might not sound very beautiful, but it was this moment of the beginning of this period of growth where he was outside the cage, when you talk about a parable.
Right.
And for me, that's one of the most exciting moments, when suddenly he reclaims his evolutionary skills. Suddenly he's flying a little, then flying more, then swooping down. And then, of course, all of a sudden, the people following him and people following him around the world start hearing him hoot, which means he's becoming himself, basically.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, in the science world, there's all, you know, it used to be so frowned upon, the idea of anthropomorphism. Oh, you're claiming that this bird has human emotions. And we're not. We're claiming it has bird emotions.
Right.
You know? And so,
which is enough.
Right. And there's a German word, Funktionlust, which means the pleasure in what you do best. And I would argue that when he started to fly on these long, great swooping flights, he might have felt some pleasure. And scientists can make of that what they will.
Yeah. Now, you've written a lot. How does this, the book of Flacco, how does this book kind of resonate with the other things that you've written, David?
Want to find a way to give back this holiday season, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. It's easy. Instead of wasting time and money on gifts that nobody wants or needs, help your friends and family give back and give to something good, something meaningful. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for a friend or family member, a cause, or an organization. Help out the local animal shelter. Get that little lending library up and running. Just make your world a better place. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. 'Tis the season for giving back, and giving feels good. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Well, long time, you know, it happened that I was teaching an environmental writing class to graduate students a year ago when I first decided to write this book. And I was telling them that one of the great things about this sort of writing is you go on these adventures, which we as a class started to call vacations with a purpose. In other words, one time I did a book about following the migration of ospreys down the Atlantic coast into Cuba and Venezuela. So you have all the pleasure of novelty and being on a trip, but you also have a goal. You know, you're focused on the goal of creating the book.
Right.
And it adds and enhances and infuses the experience with this little bit of something extra. And I, for instance, spent the summer of the BP oil spill down in the Gulf writing about that. You mentioned All the Wild That Remains. That's a book about me following the ghost of Edward Abbey and Wallace Stegner around the American West with my nephew, who'd never been west of the Mississippi before. Mm. So, you know, so I tried to get my class into doing these things where they had adventures. So when I went on, I had never seen, I'd had one unsuccessful attempt to see Flacco, but I decided that, you know, Tom Wolfe, when he wrote The Right Stuff, hadn't been to outer space, that I could write this book by talking to everybody about Flacco, by interviewing people, by researching, and ultimately going to Finland to see Eurasian eagle owls in the wild. Mm. And so the way it compares to my other books is it was a lot faster, because I knew I had to have it come out on the anniversary of Flacco's death, you know, before the story got away. And so I wrote it, you know, in 3 months, basically. And it was really intense, which added to the fun, really. Having the, it was like a
quite the
very
adventure.
Purpose-driven. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was a writing adventure.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
Were there any surprising discoveries along the way in your research?
There were lots of them. Most of them had to do with the people. You know, it's a book, you know, as you said, it's a parable of Flacco's freedom and wildness and space. You know, he suddenly had more space to, to roam. But it's also a story about people and how their lives changed by getting obsessed with Flacco. One way they changed, I have a chapter about a woman named Anka Frolik, who got completely obsessed with the bird and never missed a night. So her days would really start at flyout, which is the time in the evening when an owl takes off to do its nocturnal hunting.
Right.
So she'd get up to Central Park and she'd stay till 1 until the park closed. And, you know, it was a little dangerous to do that as a woman on her own, you know, or a man on your own. But she didn't do it one night, and he did something extraordinary, and she regretted it. And so she said, never again, I'm going to go up every night. And so her, you know, I think when you get obsessed with something, there's an excitement and a thrill. And there was a true sadness, you know, when that time ended, when Flacco died.
Yeah. Yeah. So
sorry, I went from excitement to more morbid point.
Don't apologize. That's I love it. That's why you're a life strategist, David. And in the first, we haven't even finished the first segment and you've already earned your life strategist stripes. Yeah. Yeah.
Do I get a badge, but maybe.
Oh, you get a certificate and everything, you know.
And, great.
Yeah, and some juicy fruit gum to stick it on the wall.
Very good.
Yeah,
awesome.
I want to come back, and we're about to break, but I want to come back and pick up on, you know, this idea that Flacco became a symbol. You know, that he became a symbol of both freedom, but also of resilience. You know, maybe we could come back and talk about, well, what does his journey, you know, tell us about our own relationship with wildness, if you will, and nature.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Let's do that when we come back.
Sounds good.
We're talking to David Gessner today. Now, folks, the book is The Book of Flacco, the world's most famous bird. You can find it out from Blair, wherever you buy books, and I hope you will. But before you run out to your favorite bookseller, stay here with us because we've got more to learn from David Gessner. He is an enthusiastic life strategist with us today here on Strategies for Living. We'll be right back. Hey, let's talk about the Robinson Film Center. You know, I say it a lot. There's no place like the
Absolutely
Robinson.
Absolutely, there is not.
617 Texas Street, downtown Shreveport. You've got so much. You've got the movies. You got Abby Singer's Bistro on the second floor of RFC, open for lunch and dinner Tuesday through Saturday.
Newly remodeled.
Absolutely. Great menu. RobinsonFilmCenter.org is the way you check it all out. You can go to RobinsonFilmCenter.org at any time and find out what movies are showing. Here's the deal. You want to join the crowd, join the fun. Become a member. When you become a member, you become a star. Mm-hmm. You get discounts on movies. You get concession upgrades. You get bistro deals. RFC, 617 Texas Street in downtown Shreveport. I'll say it again. There's no place like the Robinson.
There is not, and I'm glad we have one right here.
Absolutely. The Robinson Film Center. .org.
Reading begins not in the classroom, but in your child's brain. I'm Donisa Walker with LearningRx Shreveport. If your child struggles to read, maybe he or she has trouble focusing or comprehending, LearningRx Shreveport offers a science solution to reading problems, working one-on-one with your child, targeting his or her reading skills. Today, call LearningRx Shreveport. Make an appointment to have your child assessed. I know you want to help your child. So does LearningRx Shreveport.
Play it, son. Play it. And we are here on Strategies for a Living Radio. Laura Leon McMillan, David McMillan, with our life strategist today. He is David Gessner. He is the author of The Book of Flacco. Who? Flacco.
That's right.
The world's most... I couldn't stand it. I'm sorry.
You should have let Lauren do that.
That's my
I had to beat her to it, David. I had all of this planned in my mind, and then she took it away from me, you know?
Well, you know, somebody among us is possessed by an owl.
Who? there you go. Ba-dum-bum. All right, so... Flacco did indeed become this symbol of freedom, this symbol of resilience. So, pontificate a bit for us, Professor. What does this story of Flacco tell us about our own relationship with wildness and with nature?
Well, it's a wildness within the urban or within the human, too, mm-hmm. which is interesting.
Yeah.
Long time ago, when my daughter's 21, as I mentioned, she's at NYU. But when she was born, I was living in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and I wrote an article about a guy named John Way who followed coyotes, like urban coyotes.
Mm.
And the Charles River had frozen over with a little talcum powder of snow on top. And I walked with him down the Charles following coyote prints into downtown Boston. And, you know, that to me always is so exciting, the idea of the wildness within a supposedly unwild place.
Right.
And years ago, and this is going a little off topic, but years ago I did a This I Believe for NPR about wildness. Mm-hmm. And I reminded people that Thoreau didn't say in wilderness is the preservation of the world. He said in wildness. Is the preservation of the world.
Mm.
And in that piece, I said that two of the wildest moments in my life, you know, weren't going to the Arctic and following, you know, what polar bears. They were being with my dad and holding his hand when he died and being there when my daughter was born. Mm. So wildness is something different than, you know, the standard parable, and it's a good one, of Flacco is this idea of breaking out of the cage.
Yeah.
And that was partly the timing was such that a lot of people in New York became birders during COVID.
Right.
You know, when we were all caged up.
Yeah.
So this follows that and we're getting out. It also follows like the sense that many of us have with our phones and our email and just everything of a kind of daily assault.
We feel caged, don't we? Yeah.
We really feel caged. And when I think back, I can barely remember you know, the old days when, you know, I remember, and I was in my 20s going out and playing frisbee golf for the afternoon, and there was no phone and there was no internet. So so Flacco got to play some frisbee golf for a while. And at first he did it.
I love it.
Within Central Park.
Yeah.
So, and some of the wildernesses in there aren't so different than the steppes of Eurasia where he was native. Yeah. And that's where he first went. Well, I try to do three things in the book, or more than that, but three things where I tried to inhabit Flacco and write from his point of view, mm-hmm. right from the obsessed people, but also to think about this greater parable. Mm-hmm. And I think wildness is surprise. Wildness is being momentarily taken out of our own lives, you know, off of the hamster wheel in our heads. You know, that's one of the reasons I love birding.
Yeah.
Is there are little moments. I don't mean birding like making lists. I mean being out there and seeing, you know, something wild.
Yeah.
In the moment. Mm-hmm. And when they fly off, something, you know, your brain kind of flies off with them for a minute.
Right.
So and there's a great story, you know, in the Flacco story. He stays, so he escapes in February and he grows. And he stays in Central Park. And then on Halloween, he heads down to the Lower East Side. He ends up at one point two blocks from my daughter's dorm, which is pretty funny.
Wow.
And on the way back, he stops at Fifth Avenue on a 13th floor apartment of a woman named...
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together, because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Nan Knighton, she's a Broadway playwright, not a birder, not a wilderness person.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden she's walking through her kitchen and she sees two huge orange eyes staring in her. And it's Flacco on her fire escape staring in for 3 hours.
Oh my goodness.
And she felt like it was a life-changing event for her. She like I said, she didn't consider herself a bird person. And then she got up at 4 a.m. and started writing about Flacco and couldn't stop thinking about Flacco. And a month later or so, you know, at Thanksgiving, her daughters were there and they kept looking over at her and pointing. And she said, what? And one of them said, "You sure talk about that bird a lot." And I think that's all of New York, or, you know, not just New York, but beyond New York. People got into it. Got kind of a fix, a wildness fix from, and then they couldn't stop. They wanted to know what he was doing, you know, and were often surprised by him, because once he became an urban bird, he would show up on people's air conditioners or their fire escapes and shock people.
Yeah.
Is there any sort of parable, do you think, in his death as well?
Well, I think there is, because, you know, a lot of people have asked, what would you choose of the two, right? Because he's 13, he turns 13 and he dies before he's 14. In a weird thing, I didn't find this out until after I'd been working on it a while. We were both of our birthdays are March 15th.
Beware the odds of March.
2 days. Beware the odds of March. And he dies. And people ask, would you choose the 1 year of freedom? Because he could have lived another decade in the cage. And, you know, I'm on team freedom all the way. And hard not to be. I mean, I think most everybody came around to that, though at first people were saying he should be back in the zoo. Right. But to answer your question, he ends up dying. The newspapers and the New York Times just consistently got this wrong. But the newspapers claimed he died because he flew into a building.
Right.
Now, 1 billion birds a year fly into buildings migrating and die. So it's a horrible thing.
Right.
And the great, because people got that wrong, the Flacco Law was passed, which means turning lights off at night in the government building. So good. I'm glad they had that misconception. But he really died because rat poison, six strains of rat poison, and something called pigeon herpivirus built up in him, and he fell from a perch and hit a video camera aptly, because he was a creature of screens, unfortunately, and then hit the ground. And I guess laws passed about rodenticide, rat poison, in New York, too. So there was a Rachel Carson aspect to his death, where it alerted people to the dangers for birds in the urban wild. So I don't know if there was a parable, but there was there were lessons for sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, rat poison is like, it's like Rachel Carson and DDT. Rat poison doesn't stay in rats. It gets into a water. Yeah. It gets into pets. It gets into people.
Sure.
Well, a reminder of how we're all connected and the importance of what we put in our bodies, perhaps.
Yeah,
exactly.
And we better pay more conscious attention of that. And that's some of the broader kind of ecological and conservation issues that really you are tackling here in the book, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, this one of the central quotes of the book is, to paraphrase John Muir, when we pick up anything, we find it hitched to everything in the universe, right? So suddenly I'm studying Flacco, and I'm learning about, rat poison, but I also am learning about zoo ethics.
Yep.
Because it spurred this whole debate about, is it right to keep a healthy animal, in a cage like that? And as it turns out, this is a hot, I didn't know this until I started, but it's a hot issue where, for instance, elephants are basically, California is done with having elephants in zoos. They're being sent to the elephant sanctuary in Tennessee, where they have thousands of acres, no human viewers.
Right.
And recently an elephant that hadn't been from the Oakland Zoo got there, saw an elephant it knew from 7 years before, and they ran up and said hello and remembered each other. So it really got me thinking about things I hadn't really thought about before.
Did you mentioned how many people you interviewed? I guess you must have spoken with a lot of birding folks, birding experts, if you will.
I did, and and there was kind of a split in the birding community where kind of the old school hardcore birders objected to the revealing of Flacco's location during the day through the internet.
Yeah.
But I was at first pretty much in that camp. But then I started to see the community that was developing around Flacco and it was really kind of touching, and they really, at first I was a little skeptical that they were mourning when he died, but in the end I was like, they were really mourning. They really felt a deep loss. Mm-hmm. And so I interviewed amateurs, I interviewed, kids, I interviewed experts, and tried to get everybody's different takes on Flacco's year.
What was the biggest challenge for you? It sounds like you had a ball. Sounds like you had fun.
I had a ball, but it was, it was years ago when I wrote a book about ospreys called Return of the Osprey. I got my first book advance, so I quit my job. I think I was working at a bookstore. And I spent 8 months studying the birds and watching the birds. And then when they migrated south, I blasted out a draft of the book, right? And so that was kind of my template. I was going to do that in small. So my biggest challenge was holding off on starting writing and then having to write so quickly to have the book done only a couple of months later. And I missed some things, I'm sure, because it was done at high speed, but that was part of the excitement.
Well, maybe you missed some things, but I tell you what turned out, it was a pretty doggone good book.
Yes.
The Book of Flacco, the world's most famous bird. David Gessner is its author, and he is our life strategist today. You got to get this book, The Book of Flacco, and we've got more. We've got more to learn from our life strategist, Professor David Gessner, today here on Strategies for Living. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
From the bayou to your table, we're keeping it alive with flavors from the family passed down to survive. The Godfather's here
with a twist in the tail. Alligator Italian sausage, and it sure won't fail. It's the boss of the bayou, a taste you can't refuse. Italian tradition, Cajun infused. Come on, the sausage, bold and true. Andres, bringing the bayou to you.
Get the Godfather Alligator Italian Sausage only at Fertitta's Delicatessen, 1124 Fairfield Avenue in Shreveport. Pick up a Muffy while you're there. The Godfather Alligator Italian Sausage. It's a taste you can't refuse. Sold only at Fertitta's, 1124 Fairfield Avenue in Shreveport.
Dealing with stress? Pain? Feel like you're running out of options? When your life is balanced, wellness is a given. True wellness is holistic. It's about the mind, the body, and the spirit, all in balance. Now, there's a place right here in Shreveport that's all about helping us achieve peak mental, emotional, and physical health. The Balanced Life, 117 Kings Highway, right next door to Strawn's. Come see and feel the difference getting your life in balance can be. Many of your friends and neighbors have already learned the difference less stress and pain mean in their lives. You can book a discovery session right now online, thebalancedlife.us. All you've got to lose is stress, pain, or maybe both. Come see and feel for yourself the real difference balanced wellness makes. The Balanced Life Wellness Center, 117 Kings Highway in Shreveport, next door to Strawn's, thebalancedlife.us.
Facing the same old problems day to day makes you want to holler, get away. Looking for the road that'll get me there. Looking for hope and peace to spare. Looking for strategies, strategies for living radio. Your dose of radio rehab, strategies for living radio.
And we're back. Lauren Leon McMillan, David McMillan, back with our life strategist, the author of The Book of Flacco, the world's most famous bird. I read at night, and I will warn people, David, you owe me some sleep. This is a hard book to put down once you start reading it, so you owe me. Professor.
So you were being very owl-like.
Yes, I was. Although there were a few nights where Lauren said, turn that light off.
Mm. Right.
There you go. I'm wondering out loud, and I'm wondering if you've wondered, what if Flacco had lived longer? You have any idea, you know, any thoughts about how his story would have evolved?
Well, you know, we have actual living examples of that, because in Europe, where eagle owls, Eurasian eagle owls are native, we still have them, nesting in Spanish cities. I was in Helsinki, where they were famously nesting in signs above stores and buildings. In fact, they objected to me calling Flacco the world's most famous owl, because hukaya, that's the name for eagle owl in Finnish,
right.
A hukaya flew to the goalpost, the soccer goalpost, during Finland's qualifying match against Sweden in 2004, and then it flew to the other goalpost. And to this day, their soccer team is called the Hukaya.
Yeah.
The Eagle
I love
Owls.
It. I love
so they're
it.
Like, we're more famous.
Yeah.
And really, really for me, that's where my story ended, where I finally said, you know, it's great that I'm studying this bird, interviewing people, recording people, learning the natural history, but I've got to see a bird. And so I flew over to Finland in August after I'd really finished the draft of the book. I would end up putting this in the book, but I thought I was done with the book.
Right.
And weirdly, a Finnish author had visited me a couple of months before, and he was my guide, and he set me up with this kind of shaman figure, Heikki Willamo, who took photos in a place he called Eagle Owl Hill in in Finland. And on my second day there, he brought me up to a cliff. And I was, you know, I'd been worried, oh, I'm going to go, oh, for Finland. You know, I'm going to not see an owl. But on the second day, he brought me up, and there was one 20 yards away up in a tree. And as I say on the first page of the book, wow, it's hard to win a staring contest with an owl. Mm-hmm. He was just staring down at me. Yeah. And then as it got dark, and this is the top of the world, you know, it's 10:30 at night, 11. And when it gets dark, he swooped down right in front of us and headed down into the valley below. And Heike took a picture, and we looked at the picture, and he was dive bombing a lynx down below. Oh, wow. Which was crazy. You know, we see that. And so I had this whole crazy night of just like, you know, and I said at the beginning, you never know where these stories are going to take you. Well, mine took me to a cliff in Finland. So wow, that was pretty great. And so I saw, you know, what, or, you know, he could have lived a longer life, for sure. And had he stayed in the park where, they do not use rat poison within Central Park.
Right.
So had he stayed in the park, there's a chance he could have.
And, yeah.
You know, been a celebrated, venerated owl till his later years, because, you know, he could live into his 20s or longer.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
So what do you want, David, what do you want and hope in the deepest parts of you for people who read the book to take away for Flacco's learning about Flacco's journey?
Well, I'd like them to maybe embrace a little wildness and unpredictability in their own lives. Hmm. I mean, and, you know, just these glimpses of wildness, whether it's coyote tracks or seeing the bird dive down in front of you, or, you know, it's all right out there, right? I mean, that was one of the, you know, I wrote a book about Thoreau during COVID because my backyard is on a Hewlett's Creek, which is actually Dawson's Creek from the TV show.
Oh, wow.
And so, you know, we can find in our backyard this, or in a city, you know, we can find wildness if we go looking for it. Mm. So, you know, that's definitely something I'd like people to take away.
Yeah. And also, I think the story, Flacco himself kind of changed the way people see wildlife in cities, urban wildlife, if you will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, and you know, that, I mean, you need that dose, right? It's mm-hmm. good for mental health. It's good for spiritual health. It's good for your own inner wildness. And,
yeah.
And for me, you know, when I said that thing earlier about vacations with a purpose, since we're talking about strategies, for me, that's one part of my writing life that I love, which is the adventures. But what counterbalances it is what I call the pleasant daily drudgery, because I'm an early morning, unlike Flacco, I'm a morning person, not
right.
night person,
right.
night owl. But I get up real early every day and like 5:30, and I write for 3 or 4 hours, and that provides kind of ballast for my day, that regular, you know, getting absorbed. It's similar in one way. You're getting absorbed in something other than yourself. You know, you forget yourself for a while.
Yeah. We haven't mentioned, and I think we need to mention, because the book, and I'll hold it up here to the radio so people can see a wonderful cover, but also we'll flip through, and I mean, there's what, about over 30 pages of color photography in this book.
Yeah, because of course that's the other thing that happened is, you know, Flacco brought all the photographers out, and right. some of them are just brilliant. You know, he was a bird of 100 faces, at least maybe 1,000, and he emoted, and you can see him in all his glory, like angry, ecstatic, irritated, and then a picture of my wife's favorite with about a half dozen robins right around him, standing, sitting on the branches around him.
For so long, I think humans, we've disconnected ourselves from nature. How do you see Flacco's story, maybe in particular, as a, do you see it as a catalyst to that connection again? And what do you hope evolves out of that?
It certainly was for some people. I mean, I, for me, it was like business as usual to some extent, because that's what I do.
Sure.
But for a lot of people, and an interesting thing was the zoo, once they couldn't capture Flacco, and once the kind of free Flacco sentiment prevailed, the zoo sort of backed away and wasn't involved. And probably there were liability issues or PR issues.
Yeah.
But I feel they really missed an opportunity. And this is related to what you said, because a zoo's mission is to entertain, of course, but also to educate.
Yeah. Yes.
And particularly an inner city zoo wants to connect young people. So they could have had a person out there, you know, on the daily flocko rounds who could be
educating.
Saying,
well,
the Eurasian eagle owl is the largest, you know, owl.
But
and they didn't. And so that, but young, a lot of kids got totally absorbed in Flocko's world too. So they had a dose of nature they usually don't get.
But your book does that. The Book of Flocko, the world's most famous bird. David Gesner, our life strategist. Go get this book, folks. We'll be back.
You're going to see the difference. When you go to Azalea Cleaners, you'll hear about it too. Azalea Cleaners has been fine dry cleaning since 1958, plus laundry, alterations and repairs, comforters, wedding gown cleaning and restoration. You'll hear about it from your friends because they'll see it too. They'll notice the Azalea difference. Azalea is convenient. 732 Azalea Drive, 9220 Ellerby Road, and 9227 Mansfield Road. Plus, the front door of your home or business with Azalea's delivery on demand. Just text SETUP to 249-8283, and Azalea will pick up your clothes and deliver them back clean and fresh to you. You can't get closer than that. That's the Azalea difference. You'll notice it right away. Others will too. The Azalea difference. Fine dry cleaning since 1958. Text SETUP to 249-8283 and get the Azalea difference. AzaleaCleaners.com.
Hi, this is Jay Merle for Pintail Roofing. Let's talk about quality. When you hire Pintail to build your roof, here's what you can expect. Quality and quality control are the most important concerns for us at Pintail, and you need to know that Pintail stands tall with swift and professional performance on any warranty call. This is our most important policy. And remember, we're your neighbors. We'll be here for you for the long haul. Our family's lived here for over 100 years, and we aren't going anywhere. On the commercial side of Pintail's business, our fluid-applied roofing solutions can save thousands of dollars over conventional commercial roofing options. Call Pintail at 226-ROOF for a free inspection of your home or commercial building. That's 226-7663. Pintail Roofing. What's the condition of your roof?
And welcome back. Welcome back into Strategies for Living. Lauren Leon McMillan, David McMillan. And, you know, this is one of the reasons that it is so joyful to do this program. Life strategists like David Gesner.
Yeah, absolutely.
And by the way, you might say, well, I wish so-and-so would have heard this program.
Yes.
You know what? They can.
They can.
Yeah.
We are on podcast platforms everywhere now.
Yeah. What's your favorite podcast platform? Go download Strategies for Living.
And as well as YouTube, Strategies for Living.
And help us grow. What do you want us to take away? We got about a minute here, David. What do you want us to take away from our entire conversation today?
Well, first you mentioned the parable, the thrill of escape and growth and thriving before the tragic end. It's the story itself is so vital.
Yeah.
But the other is that there are worlds beyond our world. You know, an anthropocentric point of view, everything's human, and we've never felt it more than now, right? Where everything is, you know, it's like we see the world only through our eyes, and there's something called a biocentric way of looking at things.
Yes.
Looking at the world through animals, through trees, and looking at it through Flocko, it's a different world. And I think a lot of people left their worlds behind briefly and saw things through an owl's eyes, and I think that made a difference.
We need to do that more.
You know, I wish we could. Yeah. That would be fantastic.
David, thank you so much for your work, and thank you for this book. Thank you for being a great life strategist today on Strategies for Living.
All right, and I'll wait for my badge. I hope it comes in the mail.
It's coming soon.
We'll send it by owl.
There you go. Okay. Folks, thank you for tuning in. Yep. Thank you for tuning in to Strategies for Living. We appreciate you being with us, and we appreciate our sponsors making it all possible, the Robinson Film Center and Azalea Cleaners and Pintail Roofing and Learning RX and the Balanced Life Wellness Center. And for Tita's Delicatessen, home of the Godfather, alligator, Italian sausage, and some pretty good muffies, too. If today were the last day of your life, you only had one more phone call that you could make, who would you call? And what would you say? And why are you waiting? Make the call. For David Gessner, for Lauren Leon McMillan, I'm David McMillan. See you next time right here on Strategies for Living.